behalf of Michaela and Mark and their respective families, I want to welcome you today to this wedding. What a special day. What a special couple. Even a couple snowflakes to set the accent. So we're delighted you're here. Welcome to our church as well. I'm looking forward to a good time together. Michaela wants to give a special shout out to her friends that have come all the way from the dirty, dirty South. So we're, if you're offended by that comment, I'll let you take that up with her. Let's unite our hearts together and let's pray for God's blessing upon this ceremony. Father, we thank you today in Jesus' name. And, oh God, we stop to acknowledge you in the middle of all that we do. For you give us life, you give us breath, you sustain our every heartbeat. You have given us the joy of family and friends, and you've given us relationships that are so meaningful that would provoke the calling together of so many friends to witness the coming together of two lives. And so we thank you for every good thing we've received. And we know that, Lord, we can stop at times and reflect upon your goodness, but oftentimes we are filled with ingratitude. So we acknowledge you today and we praise you because you're kind, because you're faithful, and because you're good and you're just. And we would pray your blessing upon this event. We pray your grace to be upon the ceremony. And especially as these two lives and two families are united together, that you will come and help them from this day forward, that through their lives you will use them to bring happiness, joy, and grace and salvation to the lives of many more. So we look upon you today, pray for your blessing upon all that we do, and that your name may be magnified in this event, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The congregation, please be seated. We're gathered here in the presence of God and these witnesses to join together this man and this woman in the sacred covenant of marriage, to hear their vows and to seek for them the help and the blessing of God. Marriage is a holy estate. It is instituted by God and dignified by the presence of Jesus Christ himself at the marriage in Cana of Galilee. It's commended in scriptures as being honorable in all. And it is declared to be a symbol of the mystical union between Jesus Christ and his church. It is therefore not to be entered into lightly or rashly, but thoughtfully, reverently, and in the fear of God, with consideration for the purposes for which it was ordained. And the Bible makes it clear that it was ordained for the lifelong companionship, help, and comfort which husband and wife ought to have from one another. And it was ordained for the continuance of family life, that children should be trained and nurtured in godliness. And it's into this holy estate of marriage these two people come now to be joined. Who gives this woman to be married to this man?
Her mother and I do.
Good. Mark and Michaela, on your very special day, I want to remind you that it's not only a special day, but it's a pivotal day. This is probably one of the most defining days of your life, and therefore it's one of those things that you want to never forget. Marriage is, without a doubt, the most amazing human relationship, but without a doubt, it's also the most challenging human relationship. Weddings are easy. Marriage requires hard, dedicated work. And as I was reflecting upon this event, a verse of scripture came to mind regarding the two of you. It's in the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, and verse 16, where we read these words, "My beloved is mine, and I am his." And this verse defines not only the ceremony, but also the essence of marriage. It is a declaration of mutual love and interest, and it is a declaration of commitment and assurance to one another. But who said these words, right? Who said these words, "My beloved is mine and I am his"? Well, these were words of a bride, and the bride, I think, is suggested as being all those people who by faith are married to the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, in that instance in the Bible, Christ himself is described as being the groom. And so in these words, the bride, she's musing upon the relationship that she has with Christ, and she comes to this conclusion, "My beloved is mine, and I am his." And Mark and Michaela, I want to take these words just for a moment and to remind you of their significance in the spiritual sense as you come now to be joined together in this relationship. These words of the bride are a declaration of security. My beloved is mine. I suppose in modern language we might say, he's my man. Mikhail, I know you've said that. I've heard you say it. And if you haven't said it, you've posted it many, many times over. So you're here today to make the proud declaration, he's my man and I am his woman. And you know, that's the security that every wife needs. He's my man and I am his woman. And if this declaration gives security in the physical realm, and it does, how much more security does it give in the spiritual realm? Christ gives no security unless you can say that he's mine. Right? He's my Savior. He's my God. We read in the Scripture that Christ is a Savior. But what is that in terms of relevance unless one can say he's my Savior? Even the Virgin Mary, when she spoke of the child within her womb, she said, my spirit hath rejoiced in God, my Savior. And when the angel came to declare what this newborn child would be called, the angel said, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And so by extension, then, there is security and stability in the love of Christ. There is a real comfort there to know that Christ lays hold upon his people in this way. And by extension, there's security and stability in the love that you guys are going to give one to another. Strive to make your partner secure and strive to make your partner stable in your love. And as Christ wants us secure in his love, he wants you to secure each other. So don't ever be afraid of saying, he's my man and I am his woman. This is not only a declaration of security, it's a declaration of certainty. My beloved is mine and I am his. And if Mikhail, I were to ask you, how do you know that Mark is yours? You'd probably give me some long, mushy answer saying, well, it's because he speaks kind words. And I'm sure it includes that he does kind things. And spiritually speaking, that's how we know that Christ loves his people. Because he tells us. He tells us in no uncertain terms. The Bible is, in many ways, consistent, so many love notes for God's people, promise after promise he makes, telling us that he loves us. But what would that mean if he did not also remind us that actions speak much louder than words? And of all of his actions to his people, there was no greater action than when he laid down his life for his own. In John's Gospel, we read, greater love hath no man than this, that a man should lay down his life for his friends. And that's really a great example for what marriage is. It's laying down your life, not merely for a friend, but for your spouse. And so much marital tension can be traced back to the absence of the selfless love. And so before you, you've got this constant reminder when the Lord said, don't love merely in word, but love also in deed and in truth. And as you think of how the Lord has loved you, not just with promises, but with the most selfless action, then may God help you to render that same consistent love one to another. One final thing I'd share with you, and that is this declaration, my beloved is mine and I am his. It's also a declaration of surrender. Listen to the language. My beloved is mine and I am his. Well, how often have you heard it said, what's mine is mine and what's his or hers is mine? Right? That's sometimes the way that marriage ends, unfortunately. But marriage is surrender. My beloved is mine. And I am his. And Mark, in some sense today, you are surrendering yourself to this woman. And Michaela, in some sense, you are surrendering yourself to this man. And spiritually speaking, the same is true. When we come to Christ by faith, we surrender everything that we are to him. We surrender our time, our affections, our gifts, but we also give him our sins. And that's what we bring into the relationship of Christ. In his church, we bring in a whole lot of moral debt, and thank God he assumes it. He cancels that debt. But then when we enter into a relationship with Christ, he gives us himself. Everything that he is, everything that he has, he gives to his people. He gives us his attributes, his titles, his power, his wisdom, his love, his affection, his tender care, to the point where if you're married to Christ by faith, you can honestly say, I got everything I need. And the question is, then, do we give ourselves unreservedly to him? And there are people who treat Jesus Christ like this. What's mine is mine and what's his is mine. Right, we enter into this relationship with Christ wanting the best from Him, but not prepared to give Him our best. Well, let's remember then as we come and consider the basic principle of marriage, and that is to give unto your partner that which is theirs is in your best interest. And so the way to marital satisfaction is to give your partner that which is theirs. Mark, give Michaela your heart. Give her your affection. Give her your time. And let me fill you in this one. Make sure you give her your ear. Right? Listen to her. Listen to her. Give her your hand. Give her your soul. Give her the complete man. And you told me yesterday you're a big man. I'll not say what else you said. But give her yourself unreservedly. Michaela, you give Mark your heart. And give him your devotion. And give him your help. And give him your respect. Give him your love. Give him your soul. Give him the complete woman. And as you learn to give Christ your all, you will learn to give each other your all. And you will begin to understand how blessed this relationship of marriage is. There's no more unique relationship, but it's not easy. It takes a lot of work. But as you keep your eyes upon the Lord, He'll give you all the strength to be the husband that you need to be, the wife you need to be. And then you can enjoy so much of what people sometimes think. It's an unreality, wedded bliss. With your eyes upon Christ, He can give you a little bit of heaven on earth. May God grant you that for His name's sake. Mark, it's time to commit now with your words. Mark, will you have this woman to be your lawful wedded wife, to live together after God's ordinance in the holiest state of matrimony? Will you love her, comfort her, honor and keep her in sickness and in health, and forsaking all others, keep you only unto her as long as you both shall live?
I will.
Michaela, will you have this man to be your lawful wedded husband, to live together after God's ordinance in the holiest state of matrimony? Will you love him, obey, honor and keep him in sickness and in health, and forsaking all others, keep you only unto him as long as you both shall live?
I will.
Mark, will you repeat after me? I call upon these persons here present.
I call upon these persons here present.
To witness that I, Mark.
To witness that I, Mark.
To take you, Michaela.
To take you, Michaela.
To be my lawful wedded wife.
To be my lawful wedded wife.
For better or for worse.
Better or for worse.
For richer or for poorer.
Richer or poorer.
In sickness and in health.
In sickness and in health.
To love and to cherish.
To love and to cherish.
Till death do us part.
Till death do us part.
In laughter and in joy, right?
In laughter and in joy.
Yeah. There you go.
That was a part of it?
That wasn't a part of it, but it's good today, right? Michaela, when you compose yourself, will you repeat after me?
Yes.
I call upon these persons here present.
I call upon these persons here present.
To witness that I, Michaela.
To witness that I, Michaela.
To take you, Mark.
To take you, Mark.
To be my lawful wedded husband.
To be my lawful wedded husband.
For better, for worse.
For better, for worse.
For richer, for poorer.
For richer, for poorer.
In sickness and in health.
In sickness and in health.
To love and to cherish.
To love and to cherish.
Till death do us part.
Till death do us part.
A marriage bond is a true covenant union in the sight of the living God. And when God made covenants in the Bible, He often gave people tokens and symbols of His covenant faithfulness. And Mark and Michaela are now going to give each other a ring, a visible token of the promise of their love and faithfulness to each other. Thank you. So Mark, will you place a ring on Michaela's finger and repeat after me. I give you this ring.
I give you this ring.
As a token and memorial.
As a token and memorial.
That I have taken you.
That I have taken you.
To be my wife.
To be my wife.
From this day forward.
From this day forward.
Till death do us part.
Till death do us part.
And Michaela, you place the ring on Mark's finger. And repeat after me. I give you this ring.
I give you this ring.
As a token and memorial.
As a token and memorial.
That I have taken you to be.
That I have taken you to be.
My husband.
My husband.
From this day forward.
From this day forward.
Till death do us part.
Till death do us part.
Let's all pray together. Our Father, we thank you today for the promises that have been made one to another. But, oh God, I pray that you would cause this young couple and each of us as onlookers to realize that to promise before men is one thing, but to promise before you is another. And I pray that you would give them grace and strength to be true to the vows that they have made before you. I pray that you would give them selflessness one to another. I pray that you would help them to be what they need to be. Lord, make Mark the best possible husband he can be by your grace. Make Michaela the best possible wife. Bring them together, not to merely say that we have wedded bliss in theory and have nothing of that reality in the home, but give them a portion of heaven upon earth. And I pray your grace to be upon their families respectively. And as we look on and see the coming together of two lives, may we be mindful, Lord, of the greater reality, the coming together of Jesus Christ and his people. Help us to fashion our earthly love after that heavenly love. Help us to realize that the love of Christ for his people was a one-sided love. You loved us when we had no notion of you. I pray that in those moments when even in the marriage bond it seems like a one-sided love for one reason or another, that you give grace to persevere. You give strength to do what the scriptures say are true. Father, help them, we pray. May your blessing be upon them for the sake of your name and for the blessing of their lives and family. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. For as much as this man and this woman have covenanted together in the holy wedlock before God and in the presence of these witnesses, I now declare them to be husband and wife in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And what God has joined together, let no person separate. This is for pictures. I've been a part of way too many of those intimate moments in the pictures, so I'm getting out of it. May the Lord bless you, keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Will the congregation please stand? I invite you all to stay behind now for some light refreshments. They will be served in the fellowship hall, so when you leave, just take a left and go to the end. The bride and groom are looking forward to greeting you, but they're going to have pictures together with the wedding party, but they'll join you in that room and look forward to mingling with you then. Ladies and gentlemen, it is my privilege to present to you for the first time, Mr. and Mrs. Mark Elliott.
Trying to do it right. I've been living a lonely life. I've been sleeping here instead. I've been sleeping in my bed. I've been sleeping in my bed.